Controversy stirs around the Dixie State College name change. The Utah Department of Health once again loses Medicaid patient data. And a 92-year-old World War II veteran finally receives his war medals after waiting more than 60 years. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, January 18th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Dixie State College Board of Trustees is meeting today to decide what the school should be called when its status changes from a college to a university later this year. As part of their decision, the trustees will consider a recent controversy over what some say are racial connotations surrounding the name Dixie and whether or not the word should remain in the institution's title. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Let's talk Dixie, shall we?
Earlier this month, when Dixie State College held a public meeting in St. George to unveil a list of possible new names for the school, it was clear where most of the crowd stood on the issue.
A total of 82.9% of all stakeholders suggested that Dixie should, in fact, be part of the name. Now,
several months ago, Dixie State College officials hired a local advertising agency to survey the community and compile a report including possible new names. For most people who live in southern Utah, the term Dixie harkens back to their Mormon cotton farming heritage. But for others, like Roy Wilkins, it's a word that represents the checkered past of the American South. Wilkins is a senior at Dixie State College and originally from Los Angeles. He's also an African American. Wilkins says he's seen old Dixie State College yearbooks with pictures of students in blackface, holding mock slave auctions, and dressed in Confederate garb. He remains deeply offended by the images.
Yeah, it's racism, an umbrella for white supremacy. So if they change that name, it can be a start. I mean, it's still, people are going to be mad, obviously, but it could at least be a start to having some dialogue.
But St. George resident Tiffany Wilson disagrees. Wilson stood alongside her mother, whose name is also Dixie, watching Wilkins become surrounded by press as he announced his disapproval outside the auditorium. Wilson believes it's mostly outsiders who want to expel Dixie from the name.
It's never meant to any of us anything to do with Confederacy or racial issues or slavery. It truly is a spirit of Dixie, and it's something that we identify that as our community.
Steve Johnson is a spokesman for Dixie State College, where according to the fall 2012 enrollment statistics, only 2% of the student population identifies as African American. He says the controversy stems from a decision the school made in the 1950s to abandon its mascot, Flyers, and adopt Confederate-style rebels in its place.
From there came the kind of the adoption of a Confederate identity that went along with that new athletic moniker. And that identity was fostered over the next 30, 40, 50 years.
In the 1990s, college officials began to worry about the reputation of the school, so they changed the mascot to Red Storm and retired the name of their old yearbook, the Confederate. Last month, they removed from campus a bronze statue of two Civil War soldiers, one carrying the Confederate battle flag on horseback. Johnson says the statue was one of the last remaining symbols of that identity.
If Dixie remains in the name of the institution, it's going to take an incredible effort to repackage and rebrand that name to return it to what it originally was intended to be 40 or 50 years into its founding.
Shandon Gubler was born and raised in the St. George area, and he would like to see the name changed. He's a business professor at Dixie State College and attended the school in the 1970s.
So I'm completely for Dixie the place. I just unfortunately feel that we've got to take some extra measures here because of the unfortunate printed associations that we allowed to happen.
As a student, Gubler participated in activities like mock slave auctions, but he now regrets being a part of those activities and acknowledges they would be completely inappropriate today. Gubler says because of those missteps, the name Dixie continues to require an interpretation and an explanation.
Frankly, we don't have time nor money for that. Our business is education. Our business is not explanation. Therefore, I say, let's move on.
Another person who recalls that identity well is former NBA All-Star and current Memphis Grizzlies head coach Lionel Hollins. He also attended Dixie State College back in the 1970s. As one of the only African-American students there at the time, he says his experience at Dixie State College was somewhat different from his peers.
You know, there were some issues within St. George itself and the people that passed through St. George while I was there that I had to deal with. But my coaches, my teammates, and the majority of my classmates respected me, and some of them even liked me. I had a good experience there. It's why I'm able to be in a position that I am now.
Holland says the Confederate references didn't really bother him.
I grew up in a time where that wasn't abnormal. It wasn't like that was something that was, in my mind, so terrible. We had a Confederate flag on our jersey, on our warm-up suit, you know, a little flag. I still have a warm-up with it on there.
Hollins added that doesn't necessarily mean he has strong loyalties to the word Dixie either.
If they keep it, it shouldn't be an uproar. If they change it, so be it. Just move on and still support the university for what this university stands for. That's more important than what the name of the university is.
Today, when the Dixie State College Board of Trustees takes a vote, it will take into consideration the report researchers presented to the community earlier this month. The names suggested in the report include Dixie State University, University of St. George, Utah-Dixie University, and Utah-Dixie State University. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Earlier today, the board voted unanimously to change the name of the school to Dixie State University. The Utah Department of Health says human error caused the most recent data breach where the personal information of 6,000 Medicaid clients was lost on a thumb drive. KUER's Andrea Smartin says this error occurred despite the department's efforts to shore up security.
The mistake was made by an employee of a third-party contractor. Gould Health Systems processes pharmacy claims for Utah's Medicaid program. State Health Department spokesman Tom Hudako says the employee should never have downloaded data onto an unencrypted thumb drive.
This was a case of human error and an individual failing to follow the protocols and the policies that we have in place.
The department has been working on shoring up security since last year's massive data breach, which exposed the information of 780,000 Utahns. Hudako says the newly created Office of Health Information and Data Security has implemented more than 100 new policies that deal with securing data. And health department employees have received hours of training on data security standards.
It's certainly frustrating and disheartening to have another data security incident occur within, you know, 9 or so months of the large data breach that happened last year, especially given the efforts that we've undertaken as a department to prevent these types of things from happening.
In response to the latest incident, the department is reviewing its contract with Gould Health Systems and looking at what sorts of penalties they can levy to hold the company accountable. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The Salt Lake Community College Chamber Singers are headed to Washington, D.C. to participate in the presidential inauguration choir competition. 40 students and faculty members will compete and attend the inauguration ceremony at the U.S. Capitol on Monday. Paul Vanderpool is the Associate Dean for the Communication and Performing Arts Division at SLCC, and he credits the choir's director for making this kind of opportunity possible.
Lyle Archibald is the director of the choir, and he is a master at being able to put appropriate material together for a festival like this and for a competition like this. He has, in his past, won numerous awards for choir festivals, and that is actually the reason why they've been invited to go to this, is because of their track record and what they've done in the past.
A documentary film crew is traveling with the choir to chronicle the trip and the performance in the competition.
After more than 50 years of waiting, a 92-year-old World War II veteran from Utah has finally received the medals he earned as a soldier fighting in the Pacific Theater. 92-year-old Louis Frangener served for 20 months in the Army as a light mortar gunner during World War II, earning him several medals, including a Bronze Star. But Frangener never received those medals. He says he left the service with only the shirt on his back. It wasn't until his nephew, Steve Frangener, became curious about his uncle's military service that anyone realized he had never received them.
So I wrote Senator Hatch's office, and they made it happen.
That letter led to a ceremony that took place in Senator Hatch's Utah office.
I just want to say that it's a distinct pleasure and honor today to bestow upon a wonderful, humble veteran of World War II the medals he rightly and courageously earned during 20 months of service.
Lewis's nephew, Steve, says his whole family is thrilled.
Just to be able to see that he's recognized for his part in the war and and to get his due medals, it's just incredible. It's just incredible.
Lewis, a humble veteran, was speechless, but thrilled to finally be receiving his medals. A company that sold more than 9,000 devices meant to bypass the emission controls on vehicles has agreed to pay $500,000 to settle a claim with the Environmental Protection Agency. EPA says Edge Products LLC of Ogden violated the Clean Air Act by selling devices until 2011. It will be required to buy back the devices from anyone who purchased them and spend more than $150,000 on a project to offset air pollution. The family that appears in the TV show Sister Wives took their case to a federal court in Salt Lake City yesterday. They're challenging the Utah law that prohibits polygamy. Cody Brown and his four wives claim the law is an unconstitutional infringement on their religious rights. No ruling was issued in the case yesterday. Coy Porter will take over as Utah's new state fire marshal. He was the deputy to Brent Halliday, who retired in December. Porter's a 30-year veteran of the Provo Fire Department who served as chief of that department before joining the Utah Department of Public Safety.
The Sundance Film Festival is underway, and Sundance music has become almost as important as movies over the years. KUER's Dan Nalen talks about the hottest show in Park City that you can't get into.
So it's Sundance Week, and some of the biggest, best shows sold out already, but that doesn't mean there's no music to see.
That's right. There's actually a surprisingly wide array of different kinds of music and plenty of opportunities for people to actually buy tickets. In the background, people are probably hearing a little bit of the Foo Fighters right now, and that's going to be the biggest show of the weekend, probably. That's Dave Grohl, leader of the Foo Fighters, formerly of Nirvana, made a documentary called Sound City about this old L.A. recording studio where Nirvana recorded Fleetwood Mac, a lot of your classic 70s rock. And his documentary, he's dragging along a few of the stars like a Stevie Nicks, John Fogerty, the rest of the Foo Fighters. They're playing a show on Friday night. That, of course, sold out almost instantly. They're playing at Park City Live, formerly Harry O's. But at the same venue, if you go check out the website, parkcitylive.net, there's a few other shows you can go to. There's Hip Hop from 2 Chainz. On Wednesday night, you can go see our own Neon Trees, who are part of the scene up there, for a relatively cheap ticket, like $35, which is really cheap in Sundance terminology.
And for shows where there are still tickets available, Nalen recommends StarbarUtah.com or TicketCake.com, as well as performances at the Beehive Cafe down the mountain here in Salt Lake City.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, January 18th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.